family, the gospel, we are told of the discipline that must exist in the family. Now, I want to expand further for your benefit as Christians, for the benefit of those who might be among us who are not Christians, and for your benefit so that you will have something additional to share with your friends. Let us hear the passage. It's found both in the book of Romans, chapter 8:17, and Galatians 4:7. Let us hear these two passages. Read.
Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Okay, that is Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Notice Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7.
Wherefore, thou art no more servant, no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Stop there. Hold it, Brother Webb. Jonathan, read again. Romans chapter 8, verse 17.
And if children...
Notice, I want you to note the conditional clause. If
Children.
Notice now in Romans, Galatians.
And if a son.
Notice this. These two books were not written the same time. Galatians and Romans were written years apart. But notice, if children. That is Romans. Notice Galatians. If a son. And what the Holy Spirit through Paul is teaching us, that what followed, the blessing he's going to mention, is conditional upon you being this, if he's addressing many, this, if he's addressing singular. If children, what happened?
If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together, that we may be also glorified together.
Start again. You're in Romans chapter 8, verse 17.
And if children, then heirs.
That's why you left that out, brother. That's what I want. If children, then
heirs.
Here. Now, I'll be commenting on this word in a few minutes. But it has to do with, you are in line to inherit wealth, property, or title. If children, you are here. But watch here. It is also implying that if you are not a child, these blessings are not yours. No, notice too, again, in Galatians. This is Romans.
And if a son, then an heir of God.
No, the same thing. That the blessings which follow is conditional upon us being sons or daughters. Do we get it? I want to stay here a little to make sure we get it. If you are in our midst, not a child of God, we ask that you learn. The passage is stating the reason or the condition upon which you become a heir and can go to God in prayer and refer to God as Papa, Papa, or Daddy, Daddy. Only if you are a son. And that their sons stand for sons and daughters. Are we their brothers and sisters? Now, the word Abba, Abba Father. Well, the two words is really Amharic, which is Hebrew, and Greek. You see, it's the word Abba is really Father. So, Abba, Abba, Father. You see, is Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. That's right. Now, this was the ordinary word used in the home by children in addressing their father. It is a word of intimacy, closeness, and affection. Because you are son, you can use this word of affection to God. Because you are a daughter, you can use this word of nearness to God. Because you are a son. But the fact of the adoption, which make you a son or a daughter, must first be dear before you can go to God and say, Daddy, Daddy. That's why, because. That's why, if you are a son, that fact must first be there. That's what qualifies you. That's what gives you the right to be able to call upon God as your father, as your daddy. And somebody said, Brother Mitchell, if he's not, then who else? God is my father by creation. Well, that's not the fatherhood that is under consideration here. The fatherhood that is under consideration here is the one that takes place in Jesus Christ. Not by creation, but by the new birth. That's the fatherhood. That's the family that is under consideration here. May I? You become qualified, a recipient of God's blessings after you have become a son or a daughter. May I? If so, is also saying, as I stated on the board a few minutes ago, if some, is also saying, if you are not a son or a daughter, don't expect these blessings and privileges. In fact, check out if you are a son or a daughter God's way. That's why these conditions in two different books. If children, implying if you are not a part of God's family. If son, If you are not one of God's son or daughter, these blessings that follow, they do not belong to you. Are we there? As I said, the sonship and daughtership under consideration here, they rather follow, not because you are God's creative work. It follows because you were born in Jesus Christ. It is, in passing, I need to just drop this by. Look at Galatians. We were in chapter 4. Look at chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. You see, brothers and sisters, Paul, rather the Holy Spirit, first remind the Galatians. The Holy Spirit first in Paul tell us how we become sons and daughters. This is why he could afterward. He dealt with this in chapter 3. This is why in chapter 4 he continued to emphasize the conditional clause. If so. But notice in chapter 3. Read for me. Well, in fact, watch here now. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, we are all the children of God
by faith
in Christ. Huh? You notice where you become a child of God in Christ. But watching, he's not finished. Then in verse 27, he shines some light, further light, in respect to how you get here. Are we there? He tells you this is where you are a child of God. But he did not leave us in darkness. Watch here now. How do you get here, Christ in Paul? For
as many of you as have been baptized into Christ.
That's the only way you get in Christ. You are baptized into Christ.
Have put on.
You put Christ on when you are baptized. Now, read verse 28.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
Uh-huh.
There is neither bond nor free.
Watch here.
There is neither man.
Wait. It's important. We are here in chapter 3. But remember when Paul wrote, it was just one letter. So as he wrote, he went on to tell the Galatians that they are sons and daughters and therefore they are beneficiaries being here of God's blessing. But watch here now. Don't move, brothers. Watch here. Are we there? In Jewish law, yes, it's your attention I need. In Jewish law, inheritance, being beneficiary, being here, it went like this. The oldest son, the oldest child, the oldest son usually gets two times what other children get. And the daughter in a Jewish family, no inheritance was left for her. Are we there? In Roman law, it was different. in Roman law, both male and female get equal inheritance. Lest the Jews in the church at Galatia, at God, use their Jewish heritage to feel that the sisters, the female in the church, will be treated in heaven like it has been in the Jewish family for 1500 years. Listen, Galatians now, chapter 4, verse 28 following.
Chapter 3 or?
Chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 28 following.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
Wait. What he's saying, the Almighty God not going to treat us on any partial ethnic, are we there, on any gender basis. Watch it, what he's trying to show them, that when you become a child of God, you are equally a child, whether you are male or female. You are equally a child, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. Lest we be influenced by our national, our ethnic, our racial heritage. The Holy Spirit is correcting that here. There is neither
bond nor free.
There is neither slave nor free men.
Neither male nor female.
There is neither male nor
female.
So God not going to say, well, since you are a female, I cannot give you the same inheritance. Foolishness. You are going to get the same inheritance. But watch here now. Watch here, brother Jonathan. Don't move from there. The homosexual, the same-sex people, the lesbian, take this passage. I'm telling you, the way people can twist God's word to their own destruction. They take the phrase which says there's neither male nor female. That's in the same-sex group. And say, there it is. There it is. God doesn't see us as man and woman. Are you crazy? When it talks about there's neither male nor female, it is in reference to the fact that when you become a child of God, whether you're a man or a woman, you are equally a child of God. Amen. It is telling us that when it comes to God's blessing, He's going to bless the sisters and the brothers, the men and the women alike. The passage is not teaching that sexlessness or gender is wiped out. So you can just relate to one another the way you want, because God doesn't see whether you're a man or a woman. Are you crazy? The Bible nowhere teaches that. Only as it relates to the fact that each child of God are equal children of God. Are we there? Look at Galatians. In fact, look at Galatians 4, 22 through 23. The same Galatians.
For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman.
Now here it's talking about male and female. Read on, brother.
But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But he of the free woman was by promise.
Mm-hmm.
Which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants The one from the Mount Sinai.
What verse are you?
I'm at verse 24 now.
Okay, read 30.
Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the
cast
son,
out Agar and her son.
For the son of the bondwoman shall not be here with the son of the
here
free woman.
Here it is dealing with gender. A woman, and a woman is not a man. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, 14. Let us hear it.
I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children.
A man cannot bear children. And I'm talking those people who want to say because of what the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28 following. Neither male nor female. That it is saying that God doesn't see gender. God does see gender. When the Bible talks about the Christian home, it says that the man, the husband, is the head of the house. Never has God seen a woman as a husband or a man as a wife. Never. Talking. I just deal with that since we're passing neither male nor female. Some of the blessings. Let's just look briefly. Some of the blessings which come if you are children, if you are a son. Just briefly, you know, in a lesson I have titled, there are all spiritual blessings in Christ. I go in much greater detail in respect to what the spiritual blessings are. But some of the blessings, some of the legacy, some of the privileges, some of the wealth which a child of God inherits here and now. Wait. I'm not talking about over the other side of it. I mean here and now. Some of the blessings include fellowship with the Almighty God. Do you know that's a awesome blessing? That is to have the Almighty God going with, traveling with, being with, assisting you as you go through life. What do you mean as you go through life, Brother Mitchell? If you live for another 100 years and you are a child of God, God doesn't get tired of being with you if you live a faithful life. And God will guide you. God will step in for you. That's one of the blessings. Based on if you are a son or a daughter. Blessings such as forgiveness of sin. That's right. When we are told in the book, we won't read this, in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 following, that the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from all sin. That is not a promise to a non-Christian. That's right. And you know what? We need forgiveness more than we need money, more than we need medication, more than we need rest. We need money more than we need everything else. We need forgiveness, rather, more than we need everything else. Forgiveness of sin from God through Jesus Christ is one of the blessings which the Christian, the children of God, the family of God has in Jesus Christ. Prayer. Huh? T- to be able to run to God with confidence whenever you are challenged with whatever. To be able to go to God knowing that God is able and that God cares. Yes, that privilege of prayer is an awesome privilege. But you see, we take it for granted. Let's hear a little more about that. You see, is you must have a right relationship with God for effective prayer. Are we there? You must. There must be a union with God, a nearness to God, a listening to God, an obedient life. Are we there? We are talking about when the Bible talks about if children hear, that is, you are a beneficiary. There are some blessings, privileges that are yours if you are a child of God. Son or daughter. Listen, God, on that point. While the passage we are about to look on this one is fairly general, but it will get part of the message home, that it's not God's blessing is not for every and everybody. Look at 2 Chronicles. If my memory serves me right, it is chapter 15 and verse 1 and 2. Let us hear it.
And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed.
The Spirit of God came upon Azariah,
the son of Oded.
The son of Oded.
And he went out to meet Asher.
And he went out to meet Asher, I think that's the king.
And said unto him.
And said to the king, to King Asher.
Hear me, Asher, and all Judah,
hear
and Benjamin.
Me, you the leader, you are the king. But not only you, all the Israelites in Judah.
The Lord is with you.
The Lord
is with you.
Is with you.
While ye be with him.
While you be. Somebody didn't hear that, brother. Somebody didn't hear that. The Lord is with you.
While ye be with him.
Everybody hear that? We are talking about, because that is what, you know, the business of being a child of God, a son or a daughter. It means that you are with God. You are obedient to Him. You listen to Him. So here God is spelling it out. You thought it was Brother Mitchell's doctrine. No, sir. God is with you.
While ye be with Him.
Are you with God today? You are in this audience. Are you with Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ has conditions that must be met before He considers you being with Him. The verse is not finished.
And if ye seek
Him. Did it use the word if, brother?
And if ye
seek
Him.
You sure you didn't add that to God's word?
And if.
If it's there, I'm going to capitalize. If
ye seek Him.
If you seek Him.
He will be found of you.
Everybody get that? But you see, that is implying if you do not seek Him.
But
Christian, we must seek God, do you know? We must not just take those few steps to Him and stop there. As we strive to be more Christ-like, we must take steps to make sure we understand what it means to grow in Jesus Christ and like Christ. If you seek Him,
He will be found of you.
God will not play hide and seek with us if we seek Him.
But
here again is the conditional clause. If
you forsake Him,
if you forsake Him,
He will forsake you.
Everybody get that? Everybody get that? You think it's a one-sided thing? No, sir. Live your own life. But Brother Mitchell, I'm not forsaking God. Just live your own life. Do what you like, what you want to do. And that means you are forsaking God. And God says if you forsake Him,
He will forsake you.
Everybody gets that? In fact, let us look at another passage on the same point. That was 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Look now in the passage of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9.
He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law.
Wait. I want you to listen to this. He who turns his ear
from hearing the law,
from hearing what God says to you,
even his prayer shall be an abomination.
Somebody didn't hear that, brother. We talk about the privilege of prayer, but that is also conditional. You think you can just run to God when your back is against the wall and God is here? No, sir. Here God is speaking. He who does what?
Turneth his ear.
From hearing
the law.
God's law for you is repent and get baptized. Are we there? If you are a backsliding Christian, an unfaithful Christian, Jesus Christ's law for you is to repent and confess your sins to Christ. When you turn your ears from this, when you act as if this is not important, this doesn't matter, and some challenge come in your life and you run to God to pray, they didn't hear what God says, brother.
Even his prayer shall be an abomination.
Even your prayer, instead of that prayer being a blessing, it becomes an abomination. We are talking about some of the privileges that come with being a son or a daughter, that comes with being a part of God's family. That was what Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. Let me give you another one. And that is Zechariah. I think it's Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 10 through verse 11 or 12. Let us hear that, brother.
And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless.
Is that chapter 7?
Zechariah chapter 7 verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
And oppress not the widow,
uh-huh,
nor the fatherless,
mm-hmm,
the stranger, nor the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart.
Wait, let none of you imagine evil against your brother in his heart. Read on.
But they refused to hearken.
They refused to obey God. What verse is that?
Verse 11.
Everybody, you are following? We are still on the privilege of prayer. We are still on the fact in helping not only Christian, but our visiting friends to understand what prayer is about. To understand that God's door or access to himself is not open to every man, to every woman. They are conditioned. Zacharias, the brother, is at verse 11. Read.
But they refused to hearken.
They refused to listen.
And pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears.
They stopped. Wait. This doesn't literally mean they stopped their ears. They just didn't pay attention to what God was saying through his prophet. Read.
That they should not hear.
Uh-huh.
Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets.
Yeah. It's the word that God sent by his prophet that they refused to hear.
Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts.
Wait, you're getting out here now. Here. Since they refuse to hear God, God says, there will come a great
wrath.
Wrath. That is the outpouring of God's vexation. Read.
Therefore it came to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear.
Wait, you get it? You get it? As God cried, which means spoke, are called to them, and they
would not hear,
refused to hear.
So they cried.
So now Israel cried.
And I would not hear.
And God refused to hear.
Say the Lord of hosts.
Everybody get that? Brothers and sisters, Solomon says the same thing in one of the first texts we read on this. That is Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. That when you refuse to hear God, your very prayer will be abomination. You remember that? Well, here God is saying the very same thing by another prophet. That in the same way, when God cried, spoke to you, you refused to listen or obey. Same way, when you call to God, He's going to refuse to hear. Men and women telling us how God answered their prayer. They are not Christian. They live their own ungodly, disobedient life. They never feel that some of their time belongs to God, to worship Him regularly. Yet, when their backs are against the wall, when dilemma comes, they feel they can just go to God and pray. Well, here God is telling us what the situation is. That in the same way you fail to listen to Him, to obey Him, when you come to Him, He will not listen to you. Are we there? Then listen. One more passage on prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Let us hear it, brother.
For he that will love life.
If you will love life, it's not just talk about life here, but life hereafter.
And see good days.
If you would like to see good days.
Let him refrain his tongue from evil.
Let him refrain his tongue
from evil.
Watch here. It's not just talking only the tongue, you know. Are we all there? It's refrain from evil, period. You see, it brings up the tongue because it's one of the areas where more sins are committed than any area. Truly, the mouth. That's why the Bible calls it a world of iniquity. But it's not talking just about the tongue. Refrain from evil. Read on.
And his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good.
Let him eschew evil. That is, stay away from what is wrong and replace it with what is right. Do good.
Let him seek peace.
Let him seek peace.
And ensue it.
And ensue. You know, most likely tonight, if I pick up on where I left off last week, and before you say I do, some of the things to keep in mind. In talking on the point of encouraging mothers and father, wife and husband, to create peace in the home. This is one of the texts. That when we create peace in the home, Children glad to come home. Husband glad to come home. Wife glad to come home. With all the stress at the workplace, they know there's one place they can come and have some peace. Anyway, that is for tonight if we continue that lesson. Let him do what with peace, brother?
It's true. And let him seek peace and ensue it.
You see, let him seek peace and ensue. That is continue doing what you can for peace. Read on.
For the eyes of the Lord are over.
Wait. Jonathan, the far in verse 12, is that verse 12?
Yes.
The far is connecting that verse and what follows to what has just been said in verse 10, 11, 12. That's right. Why is it important to turn from evil, to turn to good, to look for peace? It's because God has an interest in that. And if you don't take interest in it, you will be on the wrong side of God. Watch here. So much so that, read brother.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous.
Over who?
The righteous.
That's the house of God. That's the family of God. That's the Christian brother. Over the righteous.
And his ears are open unto their prayers.
And his ears are open to their prayer. Wait brother. Somebody said, but Mr. Mitchell, I think God's ears is open to the prayer of every sincere person. No, sir, you're wrong. You think wrong. Listen, God, on the subject.
But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
You notice that not just his ears is against. His entire face is against them that do evil. What in effect it is saying, God does not answer their prayer. Are we there? So right away, brothers and sisters, we look and you have the passage. You have the passage in 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, and verse 1 and 2, that if you are with God, God will be with you. But if you are against him, he will be against you. That is Chronicles. You have the passage in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9, that if you fail to hear, and the word hear there means to obey. If you fail to hear and obey God, he will also turn his ears from listening to you. Then we have the passage in Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11, that in the same way when God speaks to you, you didn't hear, when you speak to God, God will not hear. Then we have the passage here in 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10, or you can start from verse 11 following, that God hears the prayer of his people, of his children, of his sons and daughters. But his very face is against them that do evil. There are privileges, there are blessings, there are legacies that comes with being a part of God's family. Give me another 5 minutes, please. And the lesson will be yours. Did I start out by reminding us that the positive things which happens in a healthy, functional family should be more so in the family of God? Did I say that? Okay, now the reverse of that. The things which happen in an unhealthy family, are we there? The negative and bad things which happens in a selfish, dysfunctional family should not be a part of the spiritual family of God. jealousy, envy, selfishness, gossip, backbiting, lack of care, lack of love. Are we there? This is seed. You know, I made mention, I made mention earlier on that a lot of times you find that when some people hear some negative things that happen to a part of their family, their brother or sister, it's like they feel good. It's like they're glad it happened. May I give you something today as brother? I should charge you a lot of money for this. But I'm a kind person. A lot of times, because when Corinthians talk about love, rejoice not in iniquity, you do not take pleasure. Some time ago I preached a lesson here that some people act like they have a vested interest in sin. It's like when a brother or a sister fail, it's like they take pride in pointing it out. It's like they are glad because they think it makes them look good because they are not guilty of that sin. That's what they think, you know. But look here. Be careful how you rejoice over the misfortune of another brother or sister. Be biological brother or sister or spiritual brother or sister. Just be careful. You know why? There is a God. And when the Almighty God sees you take that pleasure, a lot of times many people don't know the pleasure you take in hearing of another person's misfortune. But you know who always knows? God. Now, you remember the type of God that we are dealing with. Huh? Because a lot of times the Almighty God will permit, are you all there? Or allow your misfortune to come, so as to teach you a lesson. The very fact that you take so much pleasure in the misfortune of another person, God use that as a motivation to teach you a lesson. What a nice brother I give. You see how kind I am. But that is a fact. Love rejoices not in iniquity. It does not take pleasure in the misfortune or the failure of another. And if we are part of God's family, we should not manifest these attitudes. May I? As I try to wrap up, I said, usually, and this you need to get this, how we live and carry on in the physical, biological family is the same we tend to carry on in the spiritual family. Thank you for that amen, Sister Mattison. Usually, the very way we carry on in the biological, physical family, at home, usually it's the same way we carry on in the spiritual family. So, let us in both quarters learn to be Christ-like. Are we all there? I don't have to act differently here with Sister Mitchell because I'm before you than I act at home with her. Are we all there? Are we all there? If I act right with her at home, that is the biological, physical home, I'm going to act the same way here. I don't have to put on. Are we all there? I don't have to be on guard. Are we all there? And same way, if she act right and respectful and obedient to me at home, when I ask her to get up from her seat and come and pull off my shoes, yes, usually how we live and carry on in the physical, biological family is the same way we carry on in the spiritual family. God's spiritual family is huge, it is massive. Because according, as I've said last week, according to the book of Ephesians, God's family include all the saints in the church. Whether they are in heaven and earth or in Hades, all forming one family and deriving its name from one person, Jesus Christ. You didn't know that this family has a name and it comes from the bigger brother? Well, I was about to close, but since you didn't know that, I have to read this passage. Let us hear Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. James chapter 2, verse 7.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, mm-hmm. having this seal. Mm-hmm. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Mm-hmm. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Wait. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ. You know who this is talking? The Christian. Who did I say? Oh, Lord have mercy. The Christian. That's the name of Christ. That's the name of Christ. Let everyone that name, that's where this family gets its name from. Just to back that up quick, brother. James 2:7.
Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called?
Did you get it? The worthy name by which we are called. What are we called? Not Baptists. Not Seventh-day Adventists. That's not worthy name. Not Roman Catholic. Not Jehovah's Witness. Not Methodist. Amen. Not Pentecostal. But Jesus Christ, Christian. Amen. That's the worthy name. None of these other names are worthy. In fact, let me stop here. Was about to read one more passage, but let that stay. Are you a part of God's family? In today's lesson, I even went as far as reading for you how one becomes a part of this family. You are a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible did not leave us in darkness in respect to how one gets in Christ. It tells us that we are baptized in Christ. We have gone to the extent of showing that prayer is a privilege that is reserved for members of Christ's family. And we have shown you over and over, Old and New Testament, that when men and women refuse to listen to God, to obey Him, when you come to God in prayer, He will not listen to you. Do you want God to listen to you? Well, listen to Him today. He asks, if you're here today, if you have never been a true child of God, if you have never become Christian the Bible's way, and the Bible's way is that you hear the truth. Wait. I didn't say hear some religious teaching. You must hear the truth of the gospel as it relates to your sinfulness, as it relates to the only remedy for sin, Jesus Christ. If you have heard that, do you make up your mind to repent? That is, to give up your way of life, your ungodly, your selfish, your worldly, sinful way of life. That's what the Bible calls repentance. It means to turn from them. But you are not a Christian when you repent. You must confess Christ's name. What does that mean, Mr. Mitchell? You must not be ashamed to own Christ. And you must be baptized for the removal of your sin. What does that mean? There is no way God is going to remove your sin. All the sins you have committed all your life is still held against you. Every time God sees you, He sees those sins. I mean every time. If you have never been baptized for the removal of those sins. Once you get baptized, all your past sins are washed away through the blood of Christ, but you have to be baptized to get under the influence of the blood. You must be baptized with a resolve to living for Christ. And if you have been baptized and have grown unfaithful, you have backslidden, you need to acknowledge your sin first to yourself, to God, and come and acknowledge them. The church pray for you, for your forgiveness, and you're back in fellowship with God if you're sincere. We are going to stand right now to sing a song. We are encouraging you to become a part of God's family.